Yes, it's the best of Drew and Mike. Brought to you by Realtor Scott Kunith. If you'd like to see what your home is worth, or you want help in finding a new one, or anything involving homes, moving to you or away from you, 248-797-7746. Text or call Scott at 248-797-7746.
Oh, I love that person.
That's Scott Kunith. We love him too. S. Kunith, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at C-B-W-M. And for the best of, let's see, such a diverse list of things. Are these, this is the order they're in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
One is
on the bottom.
Yeah, I thought that was a strong opening.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter.
No.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter, but sort of not. The elderly scams?
Yes, and it starts because of a story you tell about visiting your mom.
Yes. God, my mom answering the phone. The idea just used to frighten me. She did buy some securities over the phone once.
She did?
Yeah, when she was in her 80s.
I remember. It's on the phone.
How'd that work out?
It worked out. I think it broke even.
Didn't she have annuity that she just cleaned house on?
Yeah, she did.
Because she lived so long. I love that.
They recently canceled it, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Because she's not alive. They just decided she's not alive. And
we've lost too much money on this. You must die.
Yep. And they're just trying to make it difficult to reinstate it because we've been through this once in 2014 and I got it reinstated.
You ain't dead.
And then 6 months ago they said, we think she's dead again, so see ya, unless you can prove otherwise. So I sent in the same documents I sent in 2014.
And did you tell them these are the same documents I sent you in 2014 when you last killed my mother?
Yeah, and then they said,
hey, kiss my ass, bitch. I'm paying you shit.
Pretty much. They said, no, that never happened. And secondly, they said, that never happened.
But you have the documents.
Well, I don't have the documents. I can't say they have the documents. They do, but how do I prove that? But then they said,
to fill out these documents.
And the power of attorney is no good, which was good enough in 2014.
What?
Yeah, they just try to put up roadblocks and make it difficult. And so anyway, I get on the phone
what
with them.
A joke.
And I have so much fun. I'm like, Dave, you thought about calling the retirement home? And by the way, if you think I'm scamming you, why don't you call the police to come after me since I'm trying to steal money from you every month?
What do they say to that?
They just say, your power of attorney's no good.
Oh, fuck.
That's their standard answer. I know, they're such assholes.
Do you want to say what company it is or no?
Let's see if they come around first. And then I will.
Good call. Yeah.
But they are total assholes. And they love telling me, and when I try to argue on my own, you don't have power of attorney, so this conversation is pointless.
Well, then hang up the phone.
That's when you say,
hey, asshole, I make one call to your boss and you're going to sell shitberries in an Uzbek bus station.
But you have power of attorney.
I know, but they say it's not good. It doesn't.
According
it's not
to
legal.
What, them?
Yeah, they decided 3 years after they accepted it that they don't accept it anymore. So, I guess it has to be reinstated or something.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like
they're just trying to exhaust you.
It's the endless mind fuck. And it's working because they're not paying her now. And I'm like, I don't even have the energy for this.
Go home to mommy.
A bunch of horse shit.
I'll get up the energy one of these days. I was thinking about calling because they sent a letter. We've been trying to reach someone from your family. And it's like, what? I've been talking to you,
are
jackasses.
You serious?
Yeah. As if they suddenly care.
You've got to escalate that up the ladder to someone in charge.
I don't know what to do. I
Chef Tom call him.
I'm tempted to get an attorney.
Yeah.
And but then okay, so then I'm spending more money to get the money.
What's the point,
Hey, mom, call Tom.
Have Maz do it. He'll exhaust them.
That's a thought.
Go, oh my God, we'll give her money and we'll just give you money. Please leave us alone.
They would blow him off though. They'd say you don't have power of attorney because my sisters tried to call and they'd go.
Bullshit.
You don't have power of attorney. You don't have a fake power of attorney like your brother.
Don't
really?
Ask me.
Yeah. They talk to me more than they talk to her because she doesn't even have a power of attorney that they won't accept.
Well, how do you find out from them to prove that you have power of attorney if they don't even talk to you because you don't have power of attorney?
I have to get a new power of attorney, I guess, that's more acceptable. I know.
How do you find out that if they won't talk to you?
I know.
You
don't have power of attorney. Talk to me because I have a pretend power of attorney that I tried to send in that's really a real power of attorney that everyone else would accept.
Business.
Oh my God, that's ludicrous.
I know. It's the most endless mind fuck. And I guess banks do this all the time to people. When they turn a certain age, they just decide, this could be fake, so we're just going to threaten these people and hope that they forget, you know, that we used to send money every month.
Oh, that's awful.
I know, it's brutal.
Someone get Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes to look into this.
And I'm the worst person to be in charge because, you know, you need so many documents and proof.
Do you save a lot of documents?
They're around somewhere.
I think they're upstairs, all the way upstairs. Probably. In a big pile.
Yeah. It's.
I don't know. I always save stuff, and then I go look at it and go, what do I need this for? It's all online. Throw it away anyway. Of course, I'm probably going to end up needing all of it.
I know.
I'm looking for the trash can.
It is cool to see taxes that are over 7 years old, and you know you can throw them out. But then I think that's not always true. Like if they discover something from 3 years ago that's no good, then they can go back 7 years.
From then?
I don't know. I remember thinking.
They can basically do whatever they want.
I could throw out a lot of stuff and then being told, well, not so fast.
We have some, we have some friends that are younger than us. They would qualify as millennials, and it's like, well, we don't save anything. It's all online. Like, you don't have any paperwork whatsoever. Like, no, it's all online.
Wow.
Like, really? Like, yeah, it's all my laptop, too. I'm like, what? You don't even have a desk? Such a foreign concept.
I like these people.
Yeah, it's all online until it isn't.
Yeah, except I don't even know where my stuff is all. I don't know. Whatever. I'll gather it all up one of these days. I'm sure there'll be a lot of things in probate court when I die.
Oh. That's a nice thought.
But is that my problem? Not really.
It's whoever has fake power of attorney.
You should have to work hard for whatever I leave behind. You should have to put something in other than me just saying your fucking name.
What is
fight
this?
For it.
What
scrap is, for it. Who wants it the most?
What is this? Drewster's Millions? Brewster's Millions? You know, a whole set of rules?
That would be a really angry movie. let's see. Then we have the West Bloomfield yard fight. Boy, this was a feisty affair.
Yeah. How did it ever resolve? Do we know?
I don't think we do know. It was about the guy, the neighbor that was kind of loud, and he had the horn on his lawnmower. They go, oh, yeah. La Cucaracha. And he would crank it, and then.
Sweet.
He promised he'd stop doing it, and they just couldn't resist. And. They had some other disputes. It was a lot of them. It's amazing the way these things just build up and build
you
up.
You want to go?
Up.
Why is it worth it to some people?
I don't know, but it was fun investigating that one.
Yeah,
and then there was Mitch Albom and the Fuck, Marry, Kill game.
Yeah, he was very great upset guy about those teachers.
Yeah, they were, and I thought the Fuck, Marry, Kill game was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a great game. Just three things. What would you rather do? You got to pick one for each.
But were they picking other faculty members or students?
I don't play that game.
I thought it was students.
I thought it was students, too.
Oops. And then a person dining nearby overheard.
That'd be pretty cool if you found out you were on the fuck list and you were, you know, a senior or something. And there's like three teachers in the group and they all want to fuck you. It's kind of cool.
I mean, snitches get stitches.
It wasn't all bad. Then we have Janet Jackson.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, Janet Jackson.
Yes, newly of the Hall of Fame. How timely this is. And the story about her 31-year-old kid.
You think he'll be there at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, probably, to buy his own ticket. Or I don't know if it was a he or a she. Was it a he or a she?
I thought it was a he. Hi, oh, no, mommy. You know what? It was a she.
Hi, Mommy.
What a weird story.
Hi, Mommy.
I'm trying to remember, there was a little something to it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think we were convinced by the end of it. It was her and El DeBarge's kid.
El DeBarge.
Because you made the poor decision to get knocked up by DeBarge.
The story was so weird.
That kid.
She marries this guy and her family just basically say, you're coming with us. You're not married to him anymore.
Seems like the family doesn't approve of a lot of things.
I know, they do.
And that anybody in the family does, except for maybe Prince and... in Paris.
What a drag.
Aren't blood.
To find out.
I love you,
the family doesn't like the kid that is half blood.
Yes.
But loves these other three.
To find out, too, that you're not welcome in a family this fucked up. You didn't make the cuts. Like, what?
That should be honored.
I'm a normal person. You gotta hit record.
That should be a good thing.
Yeah, I guess it is in a way. Honestly, you're probably right. Yeah, it's probably nothing but good.
Would you want to be accepted by the Jacksons?
No, because the things you'd have to do to be accepted would make you so compromised. You'd have to kiss Joseph's ass mainly, I suppose, and be nice to Catherine. Catherine you seems
get,
okay.
You think you get in on the secrets, like when you're OT level 7? I tell you all the real stuff about Michael.
I like the analogy.
When you're MJ 7.
It's funny how every once in a while a Jackson family member slips. Usually it's LaToya.
Yeah, it's always LaToya.
Who says, Michael's been writing checks to little boys' families for years. Oh, my God, he's almost broke. And then a month later she says, I just made that up. It's just the craziest thing. Yeah. I just decided to see what would happen if I said that.
After Joe beat her up.
Yeah.
Again.
No doubt.
She totally false.
For 6 months. Wait, I wonder what LaToya looks like now. I remember a time, wasn't she on the cover? Was she in Playboy?
Playboy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember thinking she looked pretty good in there.
Yeah, she was okay back in that time. Now she probably looks like Michael.
Yeah,
she looks a lot like Michael now.
Yeah.
Huh?
Except she dark black.
She's got to be, what, close to 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks pretty crazy now.
Never had any work done on her, has she?
No, not at all. I know, she got the fucked up nose, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
And she didn't used to.
That hair's real.
Oh, absolutely. She's a natural strawberry blonde. Oh, my. And there's one more item, which I'll mention in just a moment. But first, whether you're selling your home or buying your first home, it should not be stressful. And with 20 years of advertising and sales experience, Realtor Scott Kunath can say the biggest contributor to stress is a lack of communication, which is why he pledges to you, the podcast audience member, to call you back in a timely manner. If you prefer to text, he's fine with that. He'll keep you informed through every step of the buying or selling process. And if he doesn't know the answer, and yes, that's possible, he will get it. His word is his guarantee. So call, text, or email Realtor Scott Kunath of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual to see what your home is worth, or if you need help in finding your new one, 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. Or S. Kunath at CBWM, and that's SKUNNATH. And our last item on the agenda is Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
I just saw her on TMZ last week.
Mm-hmm. Is she talking about being a life coach now?
Yes, yeah, she was.
Tearing me apart, Lisa!
She was talking about Kevin Hart, and it's interesting. It all sounded different from our conversation with her for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did. She sounded more on the side of she was sorry about a lot of things that she had, a lot of career things like jokes.
Really?
Yeah, it was really weird. Although it was sort of a blankety apology, so I don't know that she was making an official apology.
Hey, people grow up and they change, I guess.
I don't know. Except that it was only, what, like 8 months after we talked to her, and I don't think she was quite in that mindset.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting topic. Why is she no longer doing stand-up?
I think because of that reason.
Because you can't say anything?
Well, she had the big blow-up with the heckler, and I just think since then she wants to move towards this life coaching thing. I don't know.
What was the heckler blow-up?
He had offered her $100 to shut up, and then she went ape shit.
I don't blame her. We have audio?
Oh, yeah. That was, I'll find
it. It's where she has the purple hair, right?
Yeah.
Life coach versus extremely, extremely good.
I'd rather her make me laugh than tell me how to live.
I thought she was a great stand-up. Yeah. And wasn't her career of flying pretty high?
She was doing fine.
I'm really not getting this.
I don't either. Maybe it's working for her.
Hey, the crowd's with her.
How much my show costs? Whatever you fucking owe.
I'll give you 100 bucks
to shut the fuck up. You give me 100 bucks to shut the fuck up. Give me that. I'll fucking tear it up, you fucking idiot. Now get the fuck out of here.
Great show. Watch two people
okay,
argue.
First of all,
this is where she goes nuts.
Did I fucking tell you to leave those fucking lights on? To shut the fuck up. Every one of you.
relax.
I'm talking to this guy. I didn't need your help with any of my life. I don't need it now. So shut
she needs
the
a life
fuck
coach.
Up and let me have a conversation. Shut your fucking mouths.
I don't listen to women yelling. I tell them to shut up.
I'm just saying to be quiet, Stevie Nicks' retarded fucking cousin. Me and the person I'm talking to, and you can get the fuck
whoa
out.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, that's a little. I don't know if I want to be in that audience anymore.
Mm. It's kind of uncomfortable.
I'm just gonna say that was a rough show.
But that's weird. So she's a life coach. She stopped. Remember what Attell was telling us about? He doesn't want to do certain jokes anymore. I don't know. It's interesting.
I know because I thought that one joke of his was so, I was watching it. It was 4 or 5 years old. Mm. I was laughing out loud watching this thing. It was clearly very edgy, but it was extremely funny. And I don't know. This is really all very strange for weird someone you know who's been following comedy for a while, like we have.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a feeling: is comedy just going to be populated by really soft people?
Yes. Yeah,
how is comedy going to succeed in the soft world?
A laugh track sitcom will come back.
I don't know. I just don't see it working. I see comedy taking a big pause because remember when comedy blew up and then there were too many comics?
Yeah, the '80s.
And then it seems like it's sort of people were sifted out.
And now everybody's then everybody became a comic on YouTube.
Oh, God. I don't even call those people comics
or Snap or Vine, and then they. Then they close Vine and you have to date Tommy Lee.
So mild. Yeah. If you,
it's
yeah
funny because it's true.
It's okay if you can marry Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
God, she was so oh funny.
A lot
too
of people could.
No, she was a comedian. What a great comedian
yeah
she was.
Laugh riot.
Oh, my.
Although she was edgy. Remember, she got shit from people.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Lisa Lampanelli, back when she was a stand up just months ago, and she's a great guest on the show. So, anyway, it's a healthy lineup for the best of Drew and Mike, brought to you by Scott Kunith. Okay, I have to bring up something that happened today. It was very unfortunate. I go to visit. First of all, the Fox Run calls me if my mom has a medical appointment or an assessment or something.
Yeah.
So today was the day for her 60-day assessment, and it seems really stupid. I don't know why I have to be there. They take her blood pressure. They just do a few. They ask her a few questions, and so anyway, I show up. And I thought it was the doctor's office, and it wasn't. And she goes, oh, but while you're here. And it's like, oh, shit. And she's like, well, she's not hearing very well. And she's got this wax buildup. And you need to get some hydrogen peroxide and a dropper and a half hydrogen peroxide, half water, 3 to 5 drops. But she can't put her hearing aids in because it'll ruin them. The peroxide.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to take her hearing aids away from her because she has to do it for a week. So I'm like, she will not remember not to put her hearing aids in, first of all. That'll never happen. Right. So I got to take them away from her. So anyway, I'm here for the assessment. I'm in the wrong place. So don't tell me stuff because I'm not supposed to be here. Just pretend I never came because I wasn't supposed to. This goes on to, she needs a flu shot and you have to sign for it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, whatever. And then, so new appointment. I'm like, do I have to make an appointment now? I figured I can just put it off for a while.
I hate that.
But anyway, yeah, I had to make the appointment for next week. So whatever. So I got on to her apartment. And after much knocking, she lets me in. And while I was there, we were just hanging out talking, and the 60-day assessment person showed up, and she'd been knocking earlier, but nobody answered. So anyway, she kind of starts asking her questions, and she goes, how are your bowels moving? I'm like, oh.
Did you answer? Oh, mine are great.
I have to sit here for this? Really? But she didn't hear. How are your bowels moving? 3 times. Fourth time, she like virtually screams, how are your bowels moving? And I mean, it was loud enough.
How are your bowels moving?
There's no way the people next door didn't hear it because I ran into them when I was knocking and somebody came out hearing me knocking loudly and they go, she doesn't hear very well. And I'm like, I know my son. Believe me, I know better than you.
Hard to golf when you have a full bowel.
So anyway, I'm not getting old. Sucks.
I'm not going to give the answer because it's privileged information.
Yeah,
of course.
Right. Hey, somebody does that earwax removal thing, though.
Oh, really?
Wait,
yeah.
Why don't...
Oh, hell yeah.
Do they go... Will they? Are they mobile?
Yeah, they probably should be. I mean, all kinds of Medicare services are available, like
cool.
mad Medicare services.
Why don't
They'll
they do
your
do
feet,
it?
Your toenails, yeah, and all kinds
I'm,
of stuff.
I'm all for that. Do they do flu shots, too?
Probably. Yeah. You can get a nurse to pop by.
You can have this appointment.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
You need to get... They're like doctors, and they go visit patients all day. That's all they do.
Wow.
And would do that.
Amazing. I know the people at Fox Run 2 are amazing. It's like, right. I don't know, how do they do this? They're around these people all day. They're on their 90s, a lot of them over 100. Yeah. I mean, they're really nice.
It is a labor of love.
Yeah, it is. Oh, is it a labor of love? the USA Today money section today had top scams targeting senior citizens. And I started reading this. I'm going, you could nail my mom so bad with this stuff. You know, because I always thought, how do people fall for this? What happens to people when they reach 75? They just, yeah. I mean, they become clueless.
My dad did.
Yeah. What did he get into? Was it?
He thought it was the Publisher's Clearinghouse.
That is popular.
Yeah.
With.
And he swore he was going to win a sweepstake, and he
and you
kept
spend,
sending him money.
Do you spend money to pay for the delivery of the prize or something?
Yeah,
or,
They're very tricky. And they're all like, they have accents. Like, you know, for us, it would be a dead giveaway because it's a guy who sounds like he's from Nigeria or Jamaica. So,
right.
Because they're both all from there. And we'd just be like, go to hell. But he was really hooked on
it. Any idea what he spent? How much?
I think a couple thousand.
There was a guy in Intervention.
Mm-hmm.
So he had other issues too.
Right.
Anyway, he was really hung up on, I think it was Publisher's Clearinghouse, but it was fake. Mm-hmm. And he had spent, all I know is they had like, it seems they had like $80,000 in the bank, and it was all gone.
Oh my God.
It was all this.
Oh my God.
Because his Social Security paid the bills, basically.
They say retired men are particularly easy prey because they have this excitement factor of their work life that's now.
Yeah,
gone.
They need a rush.
Right.
For
and
sure.
That's the, yeah.
The top scam is still that IRS thing, like, pay now or you're going to jail.
Yeah.
You know, right now.
I know.
And that one, to me, that is so obvious. It's like, what do you mean? The IRS is not going to call you and demand money right this minute. There's no way.
Well, not only that, but a lot of times they want you to go to a place and have you put it on a prepaid card.
Oh, I know. The prepaid card. If that is
exhausting.
Giveaway. I mean, a prepaid card.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? There was one guy.
At least these places are catching on and know if somebody comes in.
Oh, I know. That's
prepaid
nice.
Card to forward it to somebody.
That was one of the things I had to do, was go talk to all of them and say,
do not
sell MoneyGrams to my dad anymore.
Well, there was a guy in the news who I think purchased, I want to say like 40 $20 prepaid cards. Mm. They were like, okay, you've got to pay. This is the IRS and you've got to pay us. You owe us $800. We need 40 $20 prepaid cards. Like, what? The IRS is going to ask for 40 $20 prepaid cards? Come on. Anyway,
Jesus.
That scam is apparently still hot.
Do you remember that one that we got from Joe that emailed this in?
A scam?
Yeah. What was it?
It was the IRS, and the guy got all belligerent with him. I got the call here.
Oh, yeah.
Doing all right. Hey, I've been trying to get on your do not call list, and something's not working on your guy's system.
All right.
Our listener.
Yeah. $499. How would you like to make the payment for that?
I wouldn't.
For what?
For $499.
For the removal of your number.
To get your name off of the list.
Unsubscribe, right?
I wouldn't.
I'm not subscribed. You guys have added me somehow.
I don't know, but you would have to unsubscribe now.
So how much is it to unsubscribe?
How would you like to make the payment?
I
Visa or the Master?
I could do Visa, but how much is the total?
$499.
It's $499 to unsubscribe from your call list?
Yeah. That's a one-time and lifetime fee.
Okay, where are you guys located out of? Where's your headquarters?
Great question.
Alrighty, now you're willing to purchase information as well. That would be $899.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I need to inform you that his call is being recorded and tracked at this time.
Mm-hmm.
It gets real ugly.
Yeah, obviously we need to. You do understand that we need to make a living as well, right? We don't eat stones, do we?
We don't eat stones.
Oh, this is going to be great. I got you're all listening to your call. You guys are ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Really? Are you guys laughing your ass off?
Yes, we are.
You were expecting a bit of professionalism, huh?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You wish.
You wish. Can you tell me where your guy's headquarters is located?
Headquarters?
Yes. You need to guess that. Big Kitties are the home of Big Kitties and Camel Toe. Guess the place.
Sure.
That's a real professional IRS.
All right, I got you. Thank you.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Are you molesting yourself now?
Molesting yourself.
A fucking creep.
Oh, it's recorded.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
All right, have a good day.
You too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you molesting yourself?
Here's, let's see, testifying of a video at a committee hearing Wednesday. Philip Hatch, 81, of Portland, Maine, said he lost $8,000 to IRS impersonation scammers who threatened the marshals would be in your house within an hour unless you paid what they claim were overdue taxes. I was mad, upset that I was taken in. I bet he was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Just give me 5 minutes in a room alone with those people, I'd be happy.
Whoa.
Gonna kick some ass.
How old is he?
81. Can you imagine he gets his ass kicked?
He goes in to kick their ass and just
handed to him.
Whip.
Oh, boy. Sweepstakes scams in which victims are told they've won a prize but must pay a fee to collect. It was number two scam. Robocalls using advanced electronic technology enable would-be scammers to maximize the number of potential victims reached. Computer scams in which callers impersonate representatives of well-known technology companies to persuade victims to allow remote access to their home computers to check for problems. They then charge fees to remove purported electronic viruses. Oof. Elder financial abuse in some cases involving relatives or friends who gain access to victims' identification data, bank accounts, or other grant records. And number six is the grandparent scam.
Oh, yeah.
Grandma, I'm in jail. You got to send me $600 to get out. And they're
on iTunes cards.
Enough people think their grandkid could easily be in deep shit.
That's what's funny about
it. It works.
Nobody questions it. Their grandkids are losers. You know the "Can you hear me?" scam.
Yeah, explain that though.
You'll get a call.
They just want your yes. Is all they want.
It'll be like, "This is Betty from Account Services. Can you hear me?" And they just try to get you talking so they can record your voice. I got that call the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And hung up. Do you want to call the number?
Cell phone or landline?
Yeah, let's call it.
Cell phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which pisses me off. And then the landline rang right after it. And I'm like, don't answer it! Assuming it was Julie's mom. I'm going down some list. Don't answer that!
Did we try the guy in the fight in West Bloomfield?
No, we haven't even talked about that story yet.
Oh, we haven't talked? Okay, two neighbors are fighting. It sounds like one is the highly obnoxious neighbor. The most obnoxious thing he does is when he's mowing the lawn, he has a horn that plays La Cucaracha really loud.
That's the most recent one.
That seems like it was the straw that broke the camel's back because he did a lot of other crap that really bothered this guy. He stole his sprinkler heads.
I like his lawyer said, hey, he's just a jolly guy. He's trying to liven up an otherwise mundane task. Like most people blare La Cucaracha while they're riding their lawnmower around. So they cited him for disturbing the peace. Both men met to kind of draw up a neighborly agreement to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's included a promise that they would not photograph or videotape each other and that there would be no catcalls, bells, whistles, or musical horns designed to be annoyance to the other party. So that's why La Cucaracha is such a big deal.
He cranked it after the agreement was made.
Yeah.
By the way, they found the neighbor's sprinkler heads at his house.
Well, this is how the feud started, that this guy, the Cucaracha guy, put up stakes to kind of line out the property line.
My neighbor does that.
What's wrong with that? I mean,
build a fence.
It's really
then.
The property line. I don't know.
Another time.
They're having a lot of arguments.
Another time, he put a light up that lit up the side of the guy's house.
Ah!
Other arguments were over missing lawn sprinkler heads, which were returned after the police visited.
I think there's an echo in here, man. Am I a reaver?
Cucaracha drove his car in the direction of O'Doyle, the neighbor, as he was walking down the street. Somebody stole someone else's pumpkin out of their garden patch. Both complained the other was photographing or videotaping and staring at them while doing yard work. sometimes making rude remarks such as, "I'm watching that bozo." That's a quote. "I'm watching that bozo."
This is so ridiculous.
They went out to the neighbor's home three times.
He said, "I'm watching that bozo when I was working over here. I want him arrested." I think you're free to say, "I'm watching that bozo." Is that illegal?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You can stare at your neighbors.
That's the main thing I want to find out from him is why he said, "I'm watching that bozo."
His lawyer.
Interesting thing in the story besides La Cucaracha.
Reposition a motion detector light that Doyle said was shining into his home next door. He also convinced Cantini, that's La Cucaracha guy, to remove a "no trespassing" and "smile, you're on camera" signs that were directed towards his yard. Oh, that's kind of relaxing.
I don't think this is the version it played. Is he Hispanic?
No.
He enjoys different cultures. What is his name? Jay, is that the story? What's his name? Oh, hi, ma'am.
Hello.
This is the Drew and Mike show. We're trying to reach Mr. Cantini.
He's not home yet. You'll have to call back in about 2 hours.
Is this Mrs. Cantini?
Yes.
How you doing, Mrs. Cantini? This is Drew.
Fine.
We were just reading about the little problem you're having with a neighbor, and your husband sounds like a really kind of a character.
What's that guy's problem?
The neighbor. Boy, the guy you live next to is impossible.
Yeah, what's Doyle's problem?
Can't stand La Cucaracha?
Yeah. Mexican hat dance.
Yeah.
44 seconds.
44 seconds? Is it loud?
Yeah, played for 44 seconds. And if you've ever heard the ice cream truck, it wasn't even as loud or as long as the ice cream truck plays when it runs around the neighborhood.
Where would I find a lawnmower that plays La Cucaracha? I've never heard of such a lawnmower.
My husband is very clever, and he was able to attach a musical horn to his lawnmower.
Do you think he'd rig one up for me?
He's very handy. I mean,
he's handsy?
Handy.
Oh, yeah, he can. He invents a lot of things on his own.
Well, inventors are a little quirky. I mean, I'm not surprised. Apparently, the neighbor doesn't appreciate these quirks, which is unfortunate.
You know, all our other neighbors that we talked to around us, except for that one, said it brought a smile to their face. It was funny. It was just something to amuse him when he cut the grass once a week. He played it maybe two or three times often. You know, it was supposed to be fun.
Would you say that if he's mowing the lawn, it's virtually impossible not for him to play La Cucaracha at least a couple times? I mean, the impulse is too strong, right?
Right.
Yeah, he spent all that time hooking it up. I know he's not supposed to, but it's like asking a child or taking candy from a baby to ask him not
Hold
to play that.
Horn.
Probably worse.
And what's the deal with Doyle being all upset about a little light shining on his house?
Doyle doesn't like anything we do.
Really? I mean, you're just trying to light up the house so you can see what's going on
over
there.
When we moved in, we had a survey done and found he had trees and sprinklers on our side of the line.
Oh, there it is.
And that's where the feud started, because we asked him to please move your things off our side, because we have things we want to plant along there.
Aww.
And he did nothing.
You want him to kill his trees?
Yeah,
they're not his trees. They're on their property.
I know, but to kill a tree.
Tell him to shut up, Mrs. C.
Well,
it sounds like he's siding with your neighbor. He's an idiot.
I told him, you have 2 weeks to move your trees or I'm chopping it down.
I mean the guy in my show here, Maz.
Yeah, I'm talking about this bozo.
He's siding with your neighbor.
I don't understand why he would want to kill a living thing.
Because they wanted to plant other living things.
It's on their
things.
Property!
Yeah, why do you want to kill a living thing, Mrs. C?
Because they wanted to plant their own things.
I have gardens. I'm a daylily national display garden, and I have thousands of daylilies plus other...
Have you won a blue ribbon?
I have.
Oh.
Yeah, spread out.
I have daylilies that cost a couple hundred dollars.
Whoa.
I'll be damned.
Now, the story was a little confusing because we don't know who did this, but who stole someone's pumpkin out of the garden patch? I assume that's Doyle taking yours.
One year he called the police and said his pumpkin was missing. And I have no idea why he even bothered. We don't care about his pumpkin.
I know. What a
baby. My God.
Nice use of police resources.
Exactly.
To come
have you guys ever had them over for dinner? You know, that would be the neighborly thing, right?
Yeah, but sure.
Yeah, but then you have to have dinner with them.
I know, but you know, maybe you bury the hatchet that way.
I don't think so.
No way.
Not with that bozo.
Yeah, I got a neighbor like this too. We don't care for her either.
Did they actually, as part of the charges, one of the charges that he said, "I'm watching that bozo"? Was that really one of the charges? It was in the story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. My mother called everybody a bozo. It's just kind of a joke.
Oh, your mother called him?
My husband was talking on the phone and said, "I'm watching for bozo."
How did he hear that?
Because he listens to everything we do. My husband has a loud voice.
I'm watching that bozo. It plays on the lawnmower.
Your husband has a loud voice.
I don't know. Is it illegal to call someone, say someone is a bozo? Is that against the law? Is there something? I don't know.
Well, he wasn't even talking to him. He was on the phone talking to a friend.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. Well, it sounds like, I mean, sounds like somebody's going to have to move. This person sounds so difficult. My God.
No, we've been, you know, he's called the police over 20 to 30 times over the 17 years. And each time the police came, found nothing wrong, no fine, no ticket, no fine, case closed, nothing's wrong. The police should have shut him down.
Can you tell me if he called the police over the bozo comment?
Yeah, he called them about everything.
Did he call him about the obscene hand gestures and dirty looks? Yeah, what kind of dirty looks did he give him?
My husband got upset with him and gave him a finger.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
What?
Sitting like 200 feet away from him, and he gets out of his truck. He jumps out of his truck and stares at him.
I'm just trying to picture the police coming over and interviewing your husband, saying, "Is it true that you said bozo about your neighbor?" I mean,
No, we didn't say that to the police.
No, but if they followed up on the complaint, they would have had to ask him.
Yeah, because it made the story. So I figured
he put in a lot of things that were lies and really made up. I mean, there was a complaint that my husband was cutting the lawn along the property line, which is
normal.
Borders his property line, and he was too close to his wife.
All a lie.
I says, I keep a diary. I write down every time we cut the grass. I says, one, really? He's got the wrong date. Two, Mrs. Doyle wasn't even out when we cut the lawn. And three, there is no garden over there. She doesn't weed.
Oh.
She's a goofus.
Wow.
Do you get along with her? Do you get along with her?
I don't talk to them, any of them.
They're arch rivals.
I know, but, you know, the wives might chat.
Will you tell Maz that was a dumb question?
Yeah. Tell this bozo off.
Both of us just don't ever talk to each other.
Oh.
I ignore them totally.
So how do you think, can this possibly be resolved?
It is going to be resolved by us ignoring them, and they quit calling the police. I don't know.
You guys sound like you need Judge Judy.
Pardon?
You sound like you need Judge Judy.
Yeah, well.
Have you ever seen that show?
Yes, I have seen her. She's kind of funny.
I think that would be perfect for you guys.
Well, actually, they do. This is almost dumb enough for Judge Judy.
It's really stupid.
Yeah, hopefully this is the end.
The chief judge says that's baloney.
Do you think it's possible for your husband to mow the lawn without playing La Cucaracha? Is it even possible? I don't think it is.
Well, he got rid of the horn anyhow.
He did?
He did.
That must have hurt.
He caved.
Did he send a bill to the Doyles for the cost of the horn since he had to get rid of it?
Well, I don't know. It's just, he has irritated us. We try to cut the grass and he'd turn on his sprinklers to spray over on our
asshole. What a bozo move.
I tried to weed over there, and he'd turn his sprinklers on,
Oh, my God.
Does grass make you horny?
Were you wearing a white shirt when he did that?
Well, We never called the police. We just thought we would ignore it and maybe resolve it quietly. We don't bother the police with trivial.
Yeah.
It sounds like the outside is a weed festival or something. Is the inside house? Do you have any ideas? Is it like a hoarders live there or something? I mean, is it a disaster area?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Looks like a really nice neighborhood.
He's a strange person. They never come out of their house particularly. They don't do anything outside except to rush out and accuse us of something.
Now, does he have a neighbor on the other side?
We have.
Not you, him.
We have a neighbor behind him, a neighbor behind us, and two neighbors to the left of us, but we have a woods between us and the neighbors south. And they come over, my husband has given neighbors things that they need, like RV things or help, you know, we get along fine with all our other neighbors.
I was just wondering if the rest of the neighborhood, was on his side or your side. Like, if sides had to be taken on Elder Road.
They don't want to get involved, but the neighbor on the other side of him is afraid of him.
Ooh.
And has had run-ins with him. He has made accusations to the one of the neighbors behind us.
You should egg this guy's house.
Thomas.
Sorry.
Very nice neighborhood to a piece of shit.
I think your husband needs to invent a way to make them shut up.
Yeah.
If that's possible, since he's an inventor. That'd be cool. But anyway, wow, this is insane.
You're not going to quote me in the paper, are you?
Well, that'd be hard to do since we're a podcast. But anyway, it's a really an interesting story. Everybody has their squabbles. This is probably the smallest disputes that have ever been blown up this big that I've ever heard of. But anyway, maybe we'll call back your husband. Is he fun to talk to?
Yeah, he'll be back in about an hour and a half.
Where is he?
Half an hour.
Where did he go?
This judge took that musical horn and put my husband in jail for a week.
That's ridiculous.
The La Cucaracha horn, he took it away?
Yep.
Where's that horn
upset,
now?
Was he more upset about the week in jail or losing the La Cucaracha horn?
Yep.
Which one
upset him more, jail or losing the horn?
Yeah,
clear the horn. It's a dumb question.
Jail was a very bad experience. Let me tell you, my husband has a lot of medical problems.
Oh boy!
I gave jail
people a list of all the medicine he had to take every day, and they didn't give him anything.
No one did. Anyone try to sexually violate him or anything like that?
No,
oh, good.
He got quite well with some of the other inmates.
Oh, I bet he did.
Oh, a little too well.
No, just kidding. Did he violate anyone? I'm just joking. A little prison humor there, ma'am.
Yeah. He'd invent a way to get out of it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time. We'd love to talk to your husband since we weren't able to get much information out of you.
He'll be back in about an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yeah. Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for your time, Mrs. C.
Is he at the Elks Club tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's a good cursey laugh, ma'am. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
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 Where the hell is he?
He's in jail.
He's going to be home in 90 minutes.
Bye-bye.
That's ridiculous.
How stupid.
You went to jail?
Those Bloomfield police come over for all this
I know.
Stuff.
I'm sure they're thrilled.
Someone was called a clown? What?
A bozo?
Mitch Albom, something must be wrong.
No.
I think I need to see a psychiatrist.
Uh-oh.
I've agreed with two articles, and I think
your heart must be growing. Because Mitch only writes things from the heart.
Of course.
I did not read him this week, so.
By now you may have heard about the teachers and school secretary who gathered last month at a bar in Bangor, Michigan. I told you about this story.
Oh, mm-hmm.
You may have heard about the verbal game they played known as MKF, where names are thrown out and participants say whether they'd rather marry, kill, or have sex with that person.
Have sex?
You couldn't say fuck.
No, but it's, you know.
He wouldn't say fuck anyway. No,
it's always make love. I'm surprised he didn't say make love.
He's never said fuck to a female before, not even during sex.
Mitch calls the game marry, kill, or ML.
MKL, MMLK. You may have heard how a six-minute video of their conversation went viral. How it was initially reported the game involved students' names, even though that was later denied. How incensed parents expressed their ire at a school board meeting. How two teachers and a school secretary resigned after the incidents. What you never heard is who filmed that conversation. That nobody wants to say. But someone was sitting a few tables over at the Bangor Tavern that night and secretly let a camera roll, so that patron is a part of the story. A big part. Now, let's state a few givens here. I do not condone playing the MFK game loudly in a public bar.
God.
Oh, of course not, Mitch. Oh. You didn't have to say that.
Oh, you don't agree with that. You're not on the same page as Mitch yet.
No, you're right. For part of the article, I am. I do not condone teachers mentioning students in any form of disparaging conversation.
Oh,
but they didn't.
On.
They didn't. So I do not have a lot of sympathy for these individuals.
But you've known teachers. They've ragged on their students before.
What, they're not allowed to privately rag on their students? They're in a fucking bar, for Christ's sake. Some asshole records a conversation and turns it over. The thing is that the conversation was turned over to the school. Somehow, after that, it went viral. Somehow, yeah. What happened? Somebody gave it to somebody. I mean, honestly, this is really stupid. And who is the asshole that taped this, by the way? Why do people just think they can tape anything? Because you just tape anything in Michigan? Anything?
Well, they're in a public space.
So anything they say can be taped by anyone?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, since when is it okay to just start filming people in a restaurant and putting their conversations on YouTube? Didn't we leap over a rather large principle here? I know we surrender privacy in a digital age, but is it really okay to record anyone talking in a bar and release it publicly?
I have a feeling, and I'm not saying I'm not saying I disagree with Mitch, but do you have a feeling he's been taped in a bar a few times and it bothers him?
Possibly.
Did this one maybe hit a little too close to home?
I'd say in a restaurant, not a bar. Mitch Albom doesn't go to bars. Don't go to bars. I believe this was initially recorded. It's too smoky. Oh, no, they can't smoke in bars anymore. I believe this was.
Well, they once
when,
did.
When you could smoke. Yeah, that was what killed bars for him. I believe this was, he went home and his sweater was all smoky.
And he threw it away. He didn't even wash
it.
He threw it away.
He took it off with tongs. I believe it was initially recorded by a patron at the restaurant. And then a patron gave it to another person who brought it to us to view. This is the guy at the school, the attorney for the school district, but would not let us have it, said Robert Huber, the attorney for the school district. Then somehow it ended up on YouTube, and all hell broke loose. He had to put out fires with the media outlets who kept getting the facts wrong. Yeah, there were a lot of facts fucked up in this. So anyway, I don't know what's happening to these people. They're losing their
jobs. It's a shitty thing to
do. They're talking about fellow staff people at the school, like other teachers. Would they marry, fuck, or kill them? Yep. It's a joke.
Of course.
They're not going to kill the people. They're not going to fuck the people. And they're not going to marry the people. They're just playing a little game. But I guess you can't play that game anymore.
No. And I don't know. It's just rude to do it anyway. To record something and then turn it over. Did you see the story on...
What is wrong with people? Why are people out to get everyone else? Why is everyone out to get someone?
It's just
isn't
the culture
disgusting?
Right now.
What is this? But it's the most fucked up culture. Isn't it ridiculous? Did you guys hear the Janet Jackson story?
About her kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
About her 31-year-old kid, it looks like. I mean, there's always been this story that Janet Jackson disappeared in 1986, I believe it was. And she went away, had a kid, and either gave the kid up for adoption, or her sister Rebbe brought the kid up.
Oh.
And so the DeBarge family, because she married, was it James DeBarge or L. DeBarge?
L. DeBarge.
L. DeBarge.
Yeah. Who's
L. DeBarge?
L?
Well, I don't know. Isn't his name James?
I think
Did
it's James.
Did he perform under L?
L. DeBarge. E. L. DeBarge.
Who's Johnny from the movie Short Circuit?
I was never a DeBarge fan. I'm kind of with the Jackson family on this. I wouldn't be a fan of that marriage.
No.
But they literally, didn't they kidnap Janet and say, it was like Britney Spears, you know, room service. And they barged in with the attorney.
Here's $5, Jason. Go down to the bar.
That scene was so hilarious. Did you see the Britney Spears biopic on Lifetime?
Oh, my God. I was so tempted and didn't. So
did you hear the audio? Did you hear the audio?
Yes, I heard you guys. Yeah.
I mean, how fun. And I called the room service. I knew it was Mrs. Spears with the attorney, and it was, of course. But that whole thing of, here's a 20, go to the bar. And he's like, oh, gee, thanks.
You know? Yeah.
He's calling her Mrs. Alexander. Yeah, right. She's going to be,
I'm changing my name to Britney Alexander. I'm throwing my brand out the window.
I love how arrogant Britney was in that movie, by the way, when she told her her agent, you know, he's going, maybe we should have a little less fun, Britney. He's like,
what's the matter if I have a little fun? Your checks are still clear.
Yeah.
Sells Justin, you know, you're the one slipping on the charts.
Yeah.
I mean, she sounded like
she was in charge, man.
I mean, she had comebacks like the Cash Me Outside girl, though. She did. She was sharp.
Thank you for that.
Anyway, Janet Jackson, the story is really fascinating. I mean, could she have really had this guy's kid and never told anyone in the family, in his family? I mean, he has a right to know if his child is being born by his wife or soon-to-be ex-wife or whatever the hell she was.
Yeah. Well, can they just do DNA?
They did DNA. A 31-year-old girl in Philadelphia came forward. DeBarge's mother has been out there searching for this kid. Oh. And someone from Philadelphia who's 31, ironically, exactly the age this girl would be.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm Janet Jackson's kid. I've been told this for a long time, and I don't know what the circumstances are. But she said, I've been wanting to do a DNA test. And to that, the mother said, they tried to get Janet Jackson's DNA, I guess, to no avail. They can't even get a Jackson to give them DNA, but they have the DeBarge DNA. So they can get a pretty good idea if this is the Janet Jackson L. DeBarge child. 96.7% chance the DeBarge Jackson child.
I can't believe hair doesn't fall off of her.
How do you know there's Jackson DNA?
Mark, don't ask me these questions. I have no fucking idea.
How do you not know who the mother of a child is? I mean, they give birth.
You mean...
Somebody pays them off at the hospital?
Who gave birth to this lady?
Janet Jackson.
No, I know, but...
That's what she's been told.
But why don't... Isn't there some record in a hospital?
Okay, James DeBarge was with Janet Jackson at this time. Yes. He has no other children, no offspring.
Yes, but he has an offspring.
If he has a child at this age, it's got to be Janet Jackson's kid.
Okay.
And I don't know if the 96.7 is that it's his daughter... Or that it's the combination. It's got to be his daughter, I guess.
Where's the birth certificate?
They probably paid him off to
the Jackson family. You got the Jackson family power, you know. They literally kidnapped Janet. I mean, she did not want to leave this guy. They said, you're leaving him. That's that. And they, you know, I don't know if they deprogrammed or they used the Scientology people for a little bit. Can we borrow some people for a couple of weeks? And they turned James into... James DeBarge, by the way, is celebrity net worth. Anybody want to take a guess?
$2 million.
$250,000.
Oh, boy.
They were right.
Oh.
They were right, weren't they?
And now he has child support, so it's...
How much is she worth?
$175 million.
Well, and she's married to a multi-billionaire.
A billionaire, yep.
Oh.
And she is a converted Muslim, by the way.
Oh. Wow.
Yes, she is.
So,
Yeah, no more titty at the Super Bowl from Janet Jackson. Well.
Thanks a lot.
Or she'll be stoned to death.
Wish we could have.
That would be ugly.
Stoned her.
Yeah.
Stupid bitch.
But this is a fascinating story, I think. I'm dying to know. Somebody's got to give this up.
So what does the chick look like? I mean, is she like
You know what? I thought... You know what? She's on Inside Edition, if you want to bring it up. I thought she resembled Janet. Resembled. Not real strong, but I could see...
In weight?
I thought her eyes looked like Janet. No, she's not fat enough to be Janet Jackson's kid, but she might have her eyes.
That's why Janet was fat, because she was eating to forget.
Oh, yeah. Can't you just stay outside her house and get her trash and find some DNA on that?
Yeah.
I would think you could. Maybe they did. I don't know. They said 96.7.
How they always bust murderers. They just wait for their garbage and go through
it.
Yeah.
No, it's funny how easy that seems to be, where, you know, they literally... You see them having a drink at a bar, and some PI will go up and go, can I pay you $50 for that glass?
Set up with the gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
Into the evidence bag, and yeah.
That reminds me of another story I saw today that really kind of cracked me up because it was so silly. It was Lindsay Lohan claiming she was racially profiled.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know. I thought the
As
term...
a ginger? As a ranger?
No.
There's the Inside Edition.
Yeah, it's a few stories in there. She was in... Oh, there we go. There's a story. 50,
the stories won't let up.
Whoa.
Did she give birth 31 years ago to a baby girl? In 1984, Janet, then just 18, eloped. Her husband, musician James DeBarge. The marriage lasted 1 year before it was annulled. Now, Janet's former mother-in-law, Edeline DeBarge, is on a search for the truth. Does Janet Jackson have a secret daughter?
I know there's a daughter up somewhere.
Edeline DeBarge was there when her son's marriage to Janet Jackson collapsed all those years ago. Then something happened. Janet disappeared from public view. That's when the rumors began that Janet had gone into seclusion to give birth.
After the baby was born, she was supposedly placed in foster care. Other reports claim that Janet's sister, Rebe, raised the child.
Over the years, Ederling says she has been contacted by several women claiming to be Janet's secret daughter. One day, she says she hit pay dirt when a woman who lives in Philadelphia reached out to her. At first, Ederling was skeptical.
I told her, I said, the proof is in the pudding. Let go and get the DNA.
So this is the DNA test, and it says the probability of relatedness is 96.7%.
They do show her.
You didn't believe there'd be a match.
No way.
And here she is. She's 31, which makes her the right age. We're using only her first name, Tiffany. They met for the first time last year
at the
airport in Grand Rapids, Michigan, near Ederling's home.
That's you at the airport.
It's still
the airport.
Thin.
Right?
Yeah, she's just getting off the plane and she's greeting me for the first time.
They felt an instant connection. But is she really Janet Jackson's secret daughter?
You are convinced that Tiffany is your granddaughter.
Trudy!
That Janet Jackson is your mother. And that James, your son, is the father.
I've never been so convinced.
The mystery continues.
Of course, you know, the thing about Janet Jackson is, don't you think she's had some work done?
Yeah.
Don't her features look a little
smooth?
Caucasian.
Oh.
They are, but she didn't, you know, change her facial structure as radically as he did.
No, nothing like Michael.
I kind of remember earlier what she looked like. She didn't really look like that.
I don't think her nose looked like that at all.
No.
Okay, here's a Lindsay Lohan
story. That lady doesn't look anything like her cousin, Paris.
Oh, no, you're right.
Her blood cousin, Paris.
Actress Lindsay Lohan told a television show, Good Morning Britain, that she was recently profiled racially at Heathrow Airport. The Mean Girls star had traveled to Turkey and was heading to New York when she says security asked her to remove a headscarf she was wearing. I got stopped at the airport and was racially profiled for the first time in my life, she said. She sounds excited. She opened my passport and saw Lindsay Lohan, started immediately apologizing, but then said, please take off your headscarf. Lohan says the interaction intimidated her, but also made her think about other women who encounter these situations.
How would another woman who doesn't feel comfortable taking her headscarf feel?
Lindsay has been studying the Quran and says she's considering converting to Islam.
I find solace in studying, not just the Quran, other religions, she says.
She read the part about you can't drink?
No, I don't think she read that part. I'm not sure she read the part about how they treat lesbians either.
Oh, that'll be a deal breaker.
Yeah. Or drugs.
Whole story.
Oh, here she is on Good Morning Britain. This could be maybe Britney's spoken voice will convert us. Let's see. Lindsay.
Under your arm, are you going to convert to Islam?
I think that me studying the Quran is something that I found a solace in. I do study it. Nothing is confirmed yet, but
you read the Quran regularly, right?
What do you think she studies?
In English, or in Arabic?
It's translation. But it's easier for me to learn Arabic by writing it and for prayer hour listening.
I've noticed you've Instagrammed some sayings from Prophet Muhammad. I mean, you're taking this pretty seriously. I mean,
Assalamu alaikum on my phone for a long time before I cleaned my whole slate of Instagrams and Twitter posts. So that was there for quite some time. And people didn't realize that. It's just when it was wiped, that was the only thing people saw. And that Quran shot was actually from New York almost 5 years ago.
Certainly been acting very Muslim in the last 5 years.
Potentially converting to Islam.
Truly.
Is that how you would categorize it?
I think religion is, you know, any religion anyone chooses is a personal belief, just as a spirituality, whatever you believe. My sister's Buddhist. It's a consideration I have.
Why are you reluctant to say either way?
Because I don't want to speak on something that I haven't finished yet. I don't think that's right.
What is it that appeals?
She's not going to finish the Quran for 100 years.
What about that? Solace in studying not just the Quran, other religions, just like meditation. I think something that feeds my soul and learning different cultures and beliefs. In the Islamic culture, I found a lot of people that it's very, I feel like it's a family to me, a lot of my friends that are Arab. And they've been really good people to me. And also,
she knows how women are treated in the Muslim religion.
Right. I can discuss situations with them. I want to be on the same page as everyone. And when I go to Turkey and there's prayer hour, it calms me.
Can't show her hair in any movies.
So it's something that I'm interested in.
Or cleavage.
Back in America, it's a polarizing thing, isn't it? To just even suggest you might be. You know, you picture with the Quran, you get a lot of abuse suddenly.
Not just in America.
How do you deal with that?
When I was flying to New York recently, I was wearing a headscarf, and I got
Why is she wearing that?
She opened my passport.
Because she didn't wash her hair.
Lindsay Lohan and started immediately apologizing, but then said, please, but take off your headscarf.
Really?
Yeah. And I did. I mean, it's okay. But
what
scared me was, is that moment, how would another woman who doesn't feel comfortable taking off her headscarf feel?
Pause it for a second.
That was really interesting.
What?
With a headscarf on, I think it's difficult to identify someone. You can't see their hair. Isn't their hair significant to an ID, to a... I mean, you can't take... We've had this in court many times. You can't take a driver's license ID with a hijab on.
No, because the whole idea of an ID...
Yeah, that's how you look.
ID.
Right.
So. Identify. But what kind of extreme headscarf is she wearing? She's appropriating the religion before she's even...
Exactly.
Committed herself to it, which is weird. So she's wearing
She's studying other religions, too.
Like a costume, kind of. Isn't that somewhat disrespectful?
Yeah, I think it's kind of silly, to be honest. I mean, I think she's just playing, isn't she? I mean, the last audio, Jay just reminded me, the last thing we know about Lindsay Lohan was when she was opening up her nightclubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And yelling at people to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Because she was talking.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like someone who's taking the Quran real seriously to me. And then the other prior to that was her and her boyfriend having the fight. She claimed that he was beating her up. She was throwing his cell phone out of the car. And then they were both racing for it.
So pretty peaceful. Ugh,
I don't think she would be a very typical Muslim. I could be wrong. Lisa Lampanelli will be on hand. And our question, well, Lisa, are you there?
Yep.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey buddy, what's up?
How you doing?
Excellent. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. We've talked to you many times.
Sure.
And in fact, we were just sitting here talking about how is Lisa doing it? It seems like you can't say anything. In fact, my brother lives in Washington, D.C., and he said, the First Amendment is officially suspended here. You can't even have a conversation at a restaurant without somebody screaming at you.
Well, I'm lucky because I think Donald Trump thinks everything I say about him is a joke. So I'll do, like, during my show Friday, and every time I do a set on stage now, I do, like, this 45-minute, like, roast of Trump, and I think he thinks I'm making jokes when they're actually funny, but I kind of mean them all. So I get lucky in that I don't get in a Twitter war with him. He's, you know, under the impression we're friends, and I get away with whatever I want.
But it's more the stuff about minorities and about blacks and... That's what I was referring to.
Oh, yeah, the political correctness out in society.
Yes.
Well, that's because nobody can fire her, really, right?
Yeah, thank you. I love that. That's exactly what I say. It's like, I don't really work for anybody. I'm self-employed. So I'm like, well, you know, if you don't want to come to the show at the theater, that's okay. Just go see somebody else who's funny because there's plenty of comics out there. So I'm like, okay, if my audience is there to laugh and understands why I make fun of people, but just to kind of bring us all together, then they're the ones allowed in. If you don't have a sense of humor, you really shouldn't come to my show, especially if you can't laugh at yourself, because that's a huge part of the whole thing.
Well, I totally agree with you. I just, you know, sometimes people, well, you know, protesters and jerks like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I've been protested 4 times in my career. I've been protested by deaf people, which is very difficult to understand, a deaf protest. Oh, I'm like, I don't know if they're mad or they're calling me pretty. Either way, I'll take it. And I was protested 3 times by the Westboro Baptist Church because they hate that I have gay fans. So I'm like, I kind of won that one pretty easily.
Oh, the Westboro Baptist Church. That's so nice to have them protesting.
I mean, it really feels good when you've angered someone even the Klan hates. So, you know, no, I'm really lucky because my fans seem to know what I'm doing. And honestly, like in real life, I don't go around spouting crazy stuff because that's for the stage only, you know. The last thing I do is go to a racial insult when I'm, you know, say cut off in traffic or something like that. But boy, would I like to see a movie about somebody who did go there. That would be called The Michael Richards Story. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Hey, now, how about, for example, and I was reading this this article online, and it was really annoying. It was about comics and jokes, and this guy kind of suggesting that some of the stuff you just can't say it anymore. And he mentioned you, and he mentioned the 7 abortions joke. Would that still make the cut?
Oh, just I actually don't think it was 7. Oh, yeah, I think I probably did make it specific. It's an old joke. It's not even like it's a parlor joke is what we call it. You know, it's not something I made up, but you just, the joke you would hear at a party. I heard a friend say, why do black women have, what do you call black women that have 7 abortions, a crime fighter? And the thing is, you can say that anymore because I just did. I mean, the whole thing with comics are being pussies now.
I agree.
If they back down off their humor, they're being wimps because, you know, if you're making fun of everyone equally, I feel you should be able to say what you want and let the chips fall where they may, and you may have people hate you. But, hey, we're not in this business to get love. We're in this business to make a point and to make people laugh.
I always hate it when you see a comic apologize for something. I don't think George Lopez apologized for yelling at that lady, which I don't think he should have.
Right.
Louis C.K.,
yeah, I think,
you know.
Once when I was called on to apologize for a joke I did, I Googled comics who have never apologized for jokes, and there was like 10. And they were all people I really respected. So I go, you know what? I really don't mind standing with them. That being said, if I hurt an individual's feelings, meaning if it's someone in the audience who it's not a racial thing, it's nothing like that, it's just if I hurt anyone's feeling in life, I would apologize. But I'm not going to say I apologize to a group because you're offended.
Yeah.
Because usually it's not the group that wants the apology. It's the white people who feel sorry for the group. And like,
oh, I'm sorry about that.
Stay out of it, white people.
What is that? It's the weirdest thing. These guilt-laden white people who just want to apologize and want apologies on other people's behalf who don't even want apologies. That's what Bill Maher was talking about.
Right. Well, I feel they're people who want to keep people a victim. Meaning, if we don't have to look after other races, we have to look after abused kids, we have to look after rape victims, we have to look after people who are ill. We don't have to say, hey, I'll take this minority under my wing. No, they have voices, and it's really insulting to have, you know, this kind of victimization imposed on other races. So yeah, I ignore white people across the board, especially the French. Everybody hates those assholes.
Hey, how did Trump take the roast? Because he sat there and he smiled. He seemed like a pretty good sport, but there were some pretty good hits.
Oh, he was awesome. He literally went up to each one of us after the roast. Maybe not the situation, because the situation really tanked.
God.
Boy, vey. He was as useless as a tampon at Betty White's house, you know?
Gross.
Oh, man. But this Trump was such a good sport to everybody. And, you know, now clearly he gets outraged by different things people say. But again, like I said at the beginning, I'm very lucky that he doesn't get enraged at me. And I just pull out all the stops. I think if you're funny, he doesn't mind it. I think he really minds it if people are just making a statement. So I just walk that line of I'm just there to make people laugh, folks.
And on that note, and that was 2011, and that was the last roast that you've done, right? There's been 5 straight where I haven't seen you on a roast.
Yeah, well, there hasn't been any. What happened was I think they asked me to do one right at, oh, they asked me to do the Charlie Sheen one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time when I was feeling like morally that wouldn't have been right for me because he was so mentally ill that I didn't feel it was right to make fun of somebody who's kind of mentally ill.
Really? Was he that bad?
I think so. Remember when he was nuts and off the rails and it was just crazy?
Yeah.
And I just felt like, you know what? No thanks. And what the great thing that came out of that was Amy Schumer. I saw her on a plane a few years ago and she's like, thanks for turning down that roast because they gave me a chance. So she got her break. And I think the roasts are good if you get a break out of them, if they raise your audience. But after a while, then they start roasting truly worthless people like Justin Bieber, you know, people like that. And it's like, I really want to honor somebody with 30 days to work about them? I can't. I don't even like them.
Well, not only that, they seem to get really, they're very tame now as opposed to the beginning. In the beginning, you know, there was like DePaulo and there was also
like Geraldo.
Geraldo was out there.
Yeah.
Now you have, like you said, The Situation or Ann Coulter, people that aren't comics roasting, it makes no sense.
Right. It's like, thank God for still Jeffrey Ross, because like I joke about him, is where else is he going? I mean, nobody's casting him as a leading man. Jesus. You talk about Beauty and the Beast. He puts the ooh in Jew. But again, like guys like that are the gangsters, and I love when those people are on. I just think it's something that once you do enough of them, I probably was roasted between Comedy Central, A&E, ESPN, and the Friars Club. I probably roasted like 40 people.
Mm.
It just gets like where, okay, more of the same, and you kind of want to do something else. But that being said, if they ever asked me to do one that was somebody I liked, like a real hero of mine, I would totally do it because that's an honor to me, is roasting someone who you really like.
Who got the most? I mean, obviously, probably people don't show that they're upset. But was there anyone you really felt like, oh boy, they're not enjoying this at all?
Well, I know that I had asked Ross about this. I remember during one of the roasts, B. Arthur left halfway through.
Oh yeah.
I thought, well,
is
you
that
know,
Pam
she
Anderson?
Said, "What that Pam Anderson got yeah. a little hurt, I think." But she was cool. She was really brave. For a woman who's, you know, a beautiful woman, she yeah. really took it on the chin. She was a really good person. B. Arthur got pissed off and left. And I said to Jeff Ross, well, she's dead, so God got her back, so it's okay.
Carrot Top seemed pretty upset, too.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, I think that poor thing, he's a mess. Like, although what I hear from one of his best friends, I know one of his best friends says he's the greatest guy in the world. So I think some people don't know how hardcore it's going to get. I was always super prepared for it because with women, there's five categories they can make fun of: old, ugly, fat,
slut.
Unfunny, and stupid.
What about slut?
So I always knew I would get the fat jokes, which is fine. Old, probably. So I was ugly. I was like always prepared, but no one ever made fun of that I was not funny or stupid because they know that just wouldn't fly because it's not true. So when I lost the weight, I was like, well, this is great because now they won't say fat anymore. And it just felt so good. Like, I was like, oh, all they can say is old and ugly. I'm in.
Wow. I'm looking at your picture, and I'm like, Lisa, you look really good. How much weight did you lose?
Well, I lost $107, about 5 years ago with the weight loss surgery. I kept it off 5 years, which is the biggest goal of my life because, geez, everybody gets the surgery and then gains it back, which in the business we call that pulling a Carney Wilson. So I don't want to be that person. It's terrible. You feel so bad about yourself. So, yeah, I'm still working on it, keeping it off all these years. And I'll tell you what, it's the biggest work of my life because I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't want to start that again. So, you know, between making myself throw up and not eating much.
Going back to that Pam Anderson roast, that was one of my favorite roasts. You remember that, Mark?
Yeah. Oh,
wasn't
God,
Courtney Love was there, and she was a mess.
Yes.
Total mess.
And it was a lot of slut jokes, and I don't know why. Slut jokes are really funny. I just laughed a lot at that one, I know. And Geraldo was there, too, and I loved him.
Right, and what's funny about that roast was that's the one where I actually saw my big break pay off because what happened was, Pam Anderson, like, I guess everyone wanted to tune into that roast who hadn't even seen a roast because CNN did a piece on what a mess Courtney Love was. So when the Pam Anderson roast airs, I start selling out everywhere I go because people just happen to see me. And I go, boy, for what a mess addict douche this Courtney Love is. She really helped my career, so I can't hate her for that.
Marley Matlin, the joke, I'll just let you say it. That was such a phenomenal joke at the Trump roast. Wow. Can you repeat that
for us? When I said, read my camel toe or something?
Yeah, you said, you read lips. Can you read my camel toe or tell what my camel toe's saying?
And
you,
yeah. You, kind of... you know, again, another woman who like can take a joke. I love when women can take a joke because sometimes they get hurt. And, you know, I get it. I understand a lot of women trade on their looks, and I understand. But that Marley, man, she gave it. Just like Betty White, that old broad, you know. I mean, she, what I said for her when I said she's so old that on her first game show, the grand prize was fire. And, like, I kept it. What's funny about Betty White, I kind of kept it clean for her because I know she's classy and stuff. But she was so much fun. Like, you could have said anything you want to her. Sometimes the older they are, the cooler they are because, you know, I came to realize if you like dirty jokes as a young person, you're going to like them when you're old. Yeah. You don't suddenly hit 60 and become a tight-ass C-word.
Yeah, you don't lose your sense of humor. Now, you've done a couple comedy albums. One was actually nominated for a Grammy Award. The Grammys just happened. Did you get to go to the Grammys, and is that a surreal experience? And what is that like being around that world?
Well, actually, not to correct your research department, I got nominated twice.
Whoa!
So, yeah, I was nominated for this album, Dirty Girl, and then last year for the other one I did, Back to the Drawing Board.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about a shock. By the way, when you get nominated for a Grammy and you don't even know that the category exists, like, I remember getting the phone call going, you're nominated for a Grammy, I'm like, for what? Like, best spoken word for fags? I have no idea. So it ends up there's a comedy thing. I knew both years that I wasn't going to win because, you know, you're up against these giants. I mean, I was up the first time against George Lopez, who didn't win, which sucked, and said those idiots Flight of the Conchord New Zealand douchebags won.
It's because they play music.
Please. That's like when the year that Jethro Tull beat Metallica for best metal album, Kill Yourself.
Yeah. God, that was stupid.
And then last year I knew I wasn't going to win because Louis C.K. was nominated and that album was phenomenal. But just to go to them is the most boring, horrible, depressing, star-effing time of my life. I was so bored. The only good thing was I got to bring my niece and nephew last year, so we made fun of everybody. We had a good time. They're 15 and 16. That, to them, is a big deal. I personally sat in the back with my feet up on the row in front of me and watched it on the TV screen. I said, now that's a fun time.
Oh, boy.
It's such a weird world, though, the music
world.
Oh,
it's the worst.
Yeah.
And you're going through the red carpet, and you're getting... I remember the first Grammys this was that I was at. This was hysterical. There used to be, or still is, a newspaper or a magazine written by special needs kids, and it was really cute. They said they didn't want me to be one of their interview subjects. I was like, I just got rejected by kids with Down syndrome.
Oh, no.
It proves that Down syndrome have very good taste.
Hey, The Apprentice, you were on, and you were in the final four and all that, and I can't help but think there's you must have some feelings about Trump one way or another. Of course, he's absolutely beyond despised by a good portion, maybe half, and he seems to be loved by half. Where do you stand with Trump?
I sort of fall in the middle because he treated me with such respect during that show and during the roast that I have nothing personally against him. But, I mean, his policies, his foreign policy, first of all, is shakier than Michael J. Fox. You know, he has the tiny hands. You guys need the spotter to take a piss. You know, and by the way, he did try to grab me by the pussy, but thankfully during The Apprentice, my cock got in the way. So I kind of like it, the fact that we'll have 4 years at least of really great jokes and daily things to make fun of about it. And so far, like I said, he hasn't caught up with me. So I kind of like that he's president. Sure, there'll be no abortions, but I've had my 54 abortions. I don't need any more.
Who were the other three in the finals with you, Lisa?
Oh, my God. Arsenio Hall, who won, which was not fair, and Clay Aiken, who should have won, but I think it was a homo thing. You know, nobody wants a fag to win anything. And then, what's her name? Oh, Aubrey O'Day, that crazy biatch from Danity Kane. Yeah. She was one of those... like girl group people.
Oh, yeah.
I think I was a gangster, but at least I won $130,000 for my gay men's health crisis charity, so that was good.
Wow, that's great. Well, Lisa's going to be Friday night at the Motor City Casino. I'm sure you'll have a big crowd there, Lisa. You always do well here. And everybody, I think your exposure's gotten so huge, it seems like. All of a sudden, boom, you were there, and you've stayed there, and I'm happy for you.
I'm so glad. I'm very grateful, because I'll tell you what. I don't need this thing to burn out. I got three mortgages I got to not fall more than 4 months behind on. So let's go, Detroit. Come to see me.
Hey, Lisa, thanks so much for the time.
God bless. Thanks for everything, guys.
Hey, thank you. Great to talk to you always.
All right. Lisa and Mad Hatters, sons of bankers, sons of lawyers, turn around and say good morning to the night. They see the sky, but they can't, and that is